Manage your life,
business,
your home,
inside
your world. This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd.
Welcome to the Inside Mac Radio Program. I'm your host, Scott Shepherd, coming to you live from Flash Forward Conference and Film Festival 2006 here in beautiful Seattle, Washington. Do we have a treat for you today? Today we have the Adobe Keynote live in its entirety. The keynote started off with Linda Wyman, the creator of the Flash Forward Conference and Expo and the purveyor of Lynda.com, going over all the cool stuff going on at the show. Then we went right into Kevin Lynch. Kevin leads Adobe's platform business unit. He is the chief software architect for Adobe's platform business unit. So sit tight, hang back. I'm your host, Scott Shepherd, coming to you from the Adobe Keynote live at Flash Forward Conference and Film Festival 2006, live from Seattle, and this is brought to you by Lynda.com. Hang tight. Coming up next, the keynote in its entirety. You want to learn all the great software on your Macintosh and get up to speed instantly? Well, you need to check out Lynda.com. Lynda.com is an educational website that offers online movie training 24/7 on Flash, Photoshop, Dreamweaver, Illustrator, After Effects, and 160 other topics. Subscribe and learn from over 11,000 tutorials for as low as $25 a month. Visit Lynda, that's Lynda.com, to check out hundreds of free sample training movies and more.
Informal. Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on.
Ka-chunk. Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, gentlemen and, like, two ladies. Welcome to the 2006 Flashback Show!
Whoa, we're doing a flashback show?
I guess so.
Awesome! I love a good cop-out. Now let's take a look back at some of our favorite memories from previous conferences we've done.
Celebrating 15 years of the PowerPoint dissolve.
Ooh.
Ah.
Oh, yes.
Welcome to the 2002 MMO LOTR IPO IPA RPG. What was I just talking about?
Nords. Geeks and Nords.
Ooh, nice pigtails. Whoa, hey there, book smarts. You look like the type of logo that appreciates a nice caramel apple teeny.
Ah, we've had some good times.
Too bad for you people, the good times are over. Because we're about to stop talking and some bozo's gonna start. And not the good bozo either.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the founder of Flash Forward and Lynda.com, Linda Wyman.
This is just so incredibly exciting. We are so honored to have Matt and Mike Chapman, the Homestar Runner guys, creators here at Seattle. Thanks to them for creating that great trailer. I guess I'm the bozo that gets to address you first. I don't know if I'm the good bozo or the bad bozo, but I know that the Book Smart Learning logo is really excited to have some caramel apple teenies with you all very soon. This conference marks so many firsts. In some ways, I feel like I'm back at the very first Flash Forward. We've just never had a turnout like this since the dot-com crash, and I think it's just a real sign that the industry is back in spades. So, welcome! So exciting. The conference represents a number of firsts. It's the first time that Lynda.com has owned the conference in entirety, and we hope we've demonstrated to you that we're really committed to bringing up the bar on the conference experience. For the first time, you're all getting Lynda.com online training library membership so you can study before you come to Flash Forward. You can follow up after you're done. Swag and parties are back. Hopefully you're appreciating all of that. The sessions are longer. We've improved the AV. We're in a professional venue for the first time. We've always had Flash Forward in some kind of unconventional venue, so it's kind of nice to be in Seattle in this beautiful location and beautiful building. I hope you've all been listening to the podcasts and reading the blog, and we have a lot of press here. We have Business Week and Seattle Times, and we're just really trying to step up the conference. We're very excited about the future of the Flash platform. A lot of people have been asking me why Seattle, and when I came and did a site visit, I just fell in love with the location. What do you all think? Digging it? For the last 6 years, Flash Forward has bounced between San Francisco and New York, and I love both those cities. However, it's just really fun to do something new, bring everybody out of their world and into a different world. One of the really exciting benefits is that 20% of you are from the Pacific Northwest, and we've never had that before, so welcome all you Pacific Northwesterners. As well, Flash Forward is an international conference, and I would like to take a moment to welcome everyone who's here from afar. We have attendees from Austria, Bermuda, Canada, Denmark, Finland, Ghana, Iceland, Mexico, Norway, Peru, South Africa, Sweden, Switzerland, the Netherlands, and the UK. Welcome, and welcome everybody from the US, of course. I have a couple of announcements before we get started with the great, exciting keynote. We have two sessions that have been added. One is from Adobe Systems, where we have a Birds of the Feather at 5:15 p.m. in room 615, and the subject is Macromedia and Adobe integration, so really looking to get the feedback of the attendees in terms of what you're hoping to see in that. As well, our silver sponsor, VitalStream, will host a second track in the technology showcase room at 10:30 a.m. I want to make a couple of other announcements. Be sure to write your name on your workbooks. As a lot of you may have seen up the registration, we're totally sold out, and we've actually run out of workbooks, so hopefully you're not going to be losing yours. We are sold out, but if you have any local friends who'd like to come to the film festival, we do have some film festival passes still for sale. That entitles you to go to the film festival, the after party, the internet lounge, the Adobe Technology Showcase, and the Technology Showcase. So it's actually a really great deal, and we can do it because we're in a larger venue, so we're excited to be able to open the conference up to some people who can't attend the entire thing. I'd like to tell you all that the Expo Hall is, we just have a fantastic showing of sponsorship for this Flash Forward. It's completely sold out, and we have some wonderful vendors who are supporting you with great products, and the Expo Hall opens today at 12:30. And then from 6 to 7:30 tonight in the Expo Hall, we have a reception sponsored by Filter Talent, and there will be a light food, early dinner, and full bar, and everybody will get one drink ticket, and then it's a cash bar. And lunch is available in the building on the food carts in both the Expo Hall and the Internet Lounge. I think those are all my announcements. I would just like to tell you that I hope it's evident that lynda.com is committed to bringing up the bar on this conference and creating a great experience. What we're dedicated to is education, information, creativity, inspiration. We are just very excited to be able to also be the place where another first is happening. It's the first keynote that Adobe has delivered since the acquisition, and we just want to thank Adobe Systems for just pulling out all the stops. The acquisition was only completed at the end of December. They've just shown, you know, unprecedented support of Flash Forward. I hope you'll all attend the Adobe Technology Track. It's 2 days of a full track that they put together, and they have product team leaders in there from all of your favorite applications, including Flash and After Effects and Audition and a lot of Birds of the Feather and a lot of great sessions in there. I just am very grateful, so really excited to have you here delivering the keynote. I'd like to introduce somebody who not only to me gets the big picture, but he's somebody who creates the big picture. He's someone that I just think is one of the great visionaries of our time. Senior Vice President and Chief Software Architect of the Business Platform Unit, Mr. Kevin Lynch.
Thank you, Lynda. Well, it's terrific to be here again with all of you. And I have to say, a few years ago, I never would have expected to be delivering the Adobe keynote at Flash Forward. But it's really great that we're bringing Adobe and Macromedia together. I'm truly excited about this. We're going to be able to accomplish a lot more. And the core motivation of bringing the companies together was really Flash. And one of the things we did as soon as we announced the companies coming together is we sent some video crews out to get some response from people in the community. And we've been showing them around internally, and it's been great to see. And I brought a clip of that for you here today to see the response that we've been getting.
I'm a filmmaker and creative director.
I'm a third-year grad student.
I teach interactive animation.
I'm a user interface designer.
If it's web-oriented, we've been in Macromedia's world. Anything with motion graphics, we've always been in Adobe's world. And the fact that those two are coming together is really cool.
It was like 5 in the morning, I'm driving across the Bay Bridge, and I'm listening to NPR, and they're like, Adobe and Macromedia merging. I'm like, just about like shoot off the side of the bridge.
I was at my old job, and I read it in a blog, and I'm sitting there with Photoshop and probably Flash open, going like, yay!
Thank God. When the companies merged, my first response was thank God.
Without Adobe and without Macromedia, who would have the rich experiences that you're seeing online today?
And as you start to bring all that stuff together, and the more you think about, you know, how easy or how much better our day can get spending all our time in these tools, it's pretty rad.
They're a great couple because they bring together experience, intelligence.
I think it's a really successful marriage. That's how I see it.
I know. I'm excited to watch out. Has this been shaken?
Adobe is really going to make Macromedia grow up. It's going to have to behave a little more like an adult. At the same time, Macromedia is going to force Adobe to get out a little bit, you know, enjoy life a little bit more.
Go clubbing.
Go clubbing. Take some risks.
Macromedia can help Adobe kind of take it to the streets.
Nice. Congratulations to Adobe and Macromedia.
Thank you guys for finally getting together.
May your marriage be full of love.
And I hope for longevity, prosperity, and many children.
Adobe and Macromedia, we love you. Stay sexy.
Here's to a great long life together.
Cheers.
Cheers to that.
Cheers.
Salud.
Kanpai.
We should really toast ourselves because we're the ones that are going to actually win no matter what.
I'm just waiting with an upside down umbrella to catch all this goodness that's going to pour down on us.
So it is truly exciting. We're coming together and really we're celebrating two things. One is the combination of Adobe and Macromedia, but also this is the 10th anniversary of Flash. We've been really fortunate to see the growth of this over the past 10 years, and it's been amazing to watch the innovation happen, to see all the things that you've been creating with this technology, to see the new capabilities that are coming out. And I wanted to take this opportunity to really thank you for driving Flash and really bringing it into the platform that it is today. So thank you all for your great work on the Flash platform. So now let's talk about where we're going. So we're able to actually bring together some two client technologies that are the most widely distributed in the world, both PDF and Flash. And while we're going to be really working on integrating these and combining them in interesting ways, we're not going to screw them up. That's our primary mission, is to keep them good. And yeah. So we won't be doing things like putting all of Acrobat into the Flash player, things like that. So, but we are going to be working on some great combinations between them. And the way that we're going to be looking at this is using these client technologies at the core of our platform. Flash has already been growing into a platform. The same was actually happening around PDF. And now we're actually able to deliver this great, what we're calling an engagement platform for people to express themselves across all kinds of different mediums, from print to personal computers to mobile phones to consumer electronics, really reaching all of these different various output mechanisms to engage people in a more interesting, powerful way. And taking advantage of PDF, Flash, and also HTML to accomplish that. With a very consistent programming model, using scripting languages with JavaScript and ActionScript, and declarative language with MXML to make it really easy to create user interfaces around these things. And of course, working with server technologies like Flex and ColdFusion, LiveCycle, we're able to provide very consistent server-side APIs to build the logic on the back end of these sites. And all the great creative tools, some of the best in the world, from Photoshop to Flash to Illustrator, Dreamweaver, we're able to bring these together now to help build these experiences more efficiently. And of course, all this stuff works with whatever existing enterprise infrastructure that people have and want to provide a better experience on top of. So this is the vision for where we're headed with these elements of the platform. And the Flash player is really the core of a lot of these experiences. And I wanted to give a little update on the reach that the Flash Player has managed to achieve over the past few years. Many of you are familiar with these numbers for Flash Player 5, Flash Player 6, Flash Player 7, very consistent adoption patterns from the day we released them to reaching about 98% of people on the web. And we get to about 80% reach in a year, and I found that's kind of the magic number for a lot of people to feel like it's okay to start using that new version. So Flash Player 8 now has been released about 5 months ago, and it's getting incredible adoption, actually much faster than any previous release of the Flash Player. And we're actually looking at a curve like this for Flash Player 8 today. So we've already surpassed 50% reach across the web with Flash Player 8 in the first 5 months. It's unprecedented how fast this is being adopted across the internet today. And it's really due to the great work that's being done with Flash. The way the player gets distributed is people start using the new player technology, and that pulls installations of the player. So the more you start using Flash Player 8 in your work, the more the player gets pulled, the more everyone can leverage it. So we're headed here for adoption of the Flash Player 8 technology about half the time that we've seen before. So in the past 5 months, we've had over 500 million successful installs of the Flash Player on the internet, and we're running at a rate of 5 million every day installs of the Flash Player. So just a beautiful situation to be in that we can innovate with the core player technology and get that out there very quickly so all of you can leverage it and build great work. So we're headed here for 80% reach of Flash Player 8 by, it looks like, about June of this year, so just a few months. So you might start, if you're not already working with Flash Player 8, I encourage you to start thinking about it. It's got, of course, some great expressiveness and performance and great technology inside that player to build even better experiences. One of the examples I thought I would show is there are some sites out there today that are already starting to use many elements of the engagement platform as it exists today. And one of those sites is the Jaguar is launching a new car, the 2007 XK. And I wanted to show you an example of their website that they've created to talk about this car. And they wanted to create a really engaging experience because when you're talking about cars, there's not only the facts, but there's also this emotional aspect of a car. So it's a little bit ominous, but you know, there's this new car and it drives up and it's cool. You've got this nice video that's integrated with the rest of the experience. You don't have to run in a separate video window, of course, because with Flash you can interleave the interface elements and the video. So we can click on Feel It here. Drive right on over to the next part of the site. And you can see that there's this overview of the emotion about the car, a little bit of a perspective inside to see what it's like. And we'll go ahead and get excited and buy this car right away. And so we can actually build this car now. So of course, this interface so far has been built with Flash. It's got great richness to it. It's a very smooth interface. And we can shift over very smoothly to the configurator to buy the car now. And so, of course, this is a rich internet application built with Flash. And I can select the kind of car I want. I'll select a convertible here and can pick different colors. Of course, I'll pick Adobe Red, you know, now. And I can take a look at different perspectives on the car. So it's kind of a fun little interface for checking it out. I can go inside the car and look at the interior and customize that. I'll change the type of wood there. And you can make all kinds of different choices. But I'll just go to the summary now. Now, the interesting thing is, once I've configured my car, I'd like to get a brochure, maybe, to remember this information, take it away with me. Now, I can actually print a brochure here, and, of course, that'll be printed using PDF. And so it's actually dynamically generating a brochure now based on the choices I just made to configure that car. So I can basically take an artifact away with me from the website that reflects that exact car I just designed. There's the red car with the wood interior and has all the options I selected here in this brochure customized for me. So a very seamless experience from the experience first interacting with the site, configuring a car, and then taking the brochure away. Now, this experience actually extends even beyond the website experience. Once you actually get the car, the dashboard in the car actually has the Flash Player built in. So if we go back to the slides here, you can see the dashboard in the center there of the screen. That's all Flash. It's actually controlling climate control in the car, the radio, things like that. So this is an engagement experience that extends from first interaction through actually using the product over time, in this case, the car. So very consistent experience, and that's very important for a company like Jaguar because they can express their brand in a very powerful way from the first moment of interaction to ongoing use. So that's our idea of how we'll be able to blend these things together more and enable people to provide these great integrated experiences. So, of course, these things can be built with a whole bunch of different tools. We're now in an excellent spot of having some of the leading tools in the world, and we're going to be working really hard to combine these tools, enable all kinds of great new productivity features and other integration across them. And I wanted to show you one example of something that we're doing here and in terms of the tool integration. And what we'll be working on in the next version of the Flash authoring tool, which is codenamed Blaze, are some interesting new integration features. And one of them that I wanted to highlight is, you might remember a few years ago, there was this little spat between Adobe and Macromedia, and we fought over tab palettes. Do you guys remember that? And we ended up having to change the way palettes worked in Flash authoring. So I'm happy to report, now that we're together, we can actually take tab palettes and drag them anywhere we want and drop them and recombine them. Isn't that cool? All right. It's one of the first fruits of the integration. So I want to invite up actually now Mike Downey to give you an example of some of the even cooler things you'll be able to do now as the tools here are going to be working together going forward. Mike?
Thanks, Kevin. Hi, everyone. Good morning. Another fantastic flash forward. This is a really nice setup, too. I think this is a fantastic choice of a venue. We're really excited about this. So Kevin mentioned that we're in the process of working on Blaze right now. Before I show you some of the neat things we've been working on, I wanted to talk for a second about Flash Video. So how many of you out there are actually using Flash Video right now in your work? That's amazing. Almost every hand in the room went up. It's kind of hard to tell with all the lights in my eyes up here. But people are doing really innovative things with Flash Video because, you know, with working with Flash, working with video in Flash allows you to do really amazing things that a lot of other video platforms can't do. So I wanted to show you one that I just recently found from TBS. Now, as a lot of you know, it's a cable channel that, among other things, shows a lot of reruns of old sitcoms. And they recently put up this site called the Department of Humor Analysis, and they have some special videos that they put together, shorts, that kind of help promote the sitcoms that they're showing on their cable channels. So I thought we'd take a look at a couple of these. So there's one in here that I thought was especially funny, talking about hair.
After bald people, brunettes are funniest of all. Jerry, Elaine, Kramer, Joey, Monica, Chandler, Peter, Deborah, Raymond. All brunettes. Raymond's parents, Frank and Marie, were probably once brunettes also. Inexplicably, Deborah and Raymond's children are blonde, and interestingly, they are not funny. Research shows that Seinfeld became funnier as Kramer's dark hair grew higher. The debate continues as to whether orange hair is also funny. It appears to make this man funnier. The Department of Follicle Analysis is solely responsible for the opinions expressed in this study. Tell us what you find funny at tbshumorstudy.com.
So, as you can see, it's a very, you know, integrated experience. You just click on a thumbnail, video starts playing, very simple. No questions about what type of media player do you want to use or what's your connection speed. So, you know, these are really becoming persistent across the web. Flash Video has grown to be, you know, very, very heavily used. And I want to show you another site that is really impressive. It is a site that is the most highly trafficked music site on the web, which is AOL Music. And on AOL Music, they put together an application called AOL Top 11. And what they were looking to do is, like your typical top 10, like you see on other, you know, programs like MTV, they wanted to do something a little bit more engaging, and they wanted to kind of bring the top 10, in this case top 11, experience to the web. So instead of just giving you a playlist of playing music videos, they've incorporated the VJs into the whole playback experience. So we can take an example of one of these songs. So we'll the Black Eyed Peas are pumping something, so let's find out what they're pumping. And jump into the AOL Music Top 11. This site was built with AOL by Fantasy Interactive. And you'll see here that the VJ will talk first.
Peas are ruling. They're on our countdown yet another day in at number two, and they're getting you pumped. So make sure you check out their tour dates, by the way. If you haven't heard, their tours are crazy. Here they are, up one spot with Pump It, Pump It.
So music video start playing. Kill that music there. And what happens is while the music video is playing, every once in a while, the VJ will pop up in this little pod and will say something about the video, just like you see on the other top 10 shows on cable TV. So the other nice thing they've done is everything's kind of draggable, so you know users can really kind of customize the experience. You can navigate through a playlist here, pick other videos. It's all dynamically driven, really nice RIA. You can minimize pods, things like that. And another thing that they've really found useful in supporting the business model for this is they've allowed for people to skin the application. So this app right here is the most highly trafficked music site out there, and they have so much traffic that they've really built a nice business model around this. So for example, you can pick all these different skins, and it'll load the new skin up. Totally different look and feel. And they've also done some work with other vendors. So in this case, Verizon sponsored a skin. And they're able to, you know, they can actually generate a business model around, you know, people sponsoring and providing their own skins. So it's a really, you know, engaging interface. It's music.aol.com/top11. So those are some of the really innovative things people are doing with Flash Video. Now I actually want to switch gears and go into the Flash Video workflow. So as all of you know, we have this great suite of tools now, creative tools. And at Adobe, we've been working, after we've, you know, finished the acquisition, the merger recently, all the product teams have been really, really excited. We've all been meeting on a pretty aggressive schedule, getting the teams to know each other, product managers really spending a lot of time together, visiting with customers together, trying to understand, you know, how can we best leverage the strengths of all of these great tools that we have. One of the things we've done recently is really spent some time focusing on incorporating the video tools workflow from Adobe into Flash production. And we were fortunate to work with the Adobe teams on the new release of the production suite, which includes all the digital video and audio tools from Adobe, to, in step one, in this recent release, to get them to fully support exporting to Flash video as a native file format in the tools. So I'm going to do a quick demonstration of how you might use Adobe After Effects to do some really unique, engaging experiences in Flash. So first of all, we have some footage we shot in a studio with a presenter in front of a green screen. I just want to do a very quick example of how you can leverage the new alpha channel capabilities in the Flash video codec, the VP6 codec in Flash Player 8. This is a really popular capability that people are using in really creative ways. So in After Effects, I have this footage, and I've applied an effect from an effect called key light for doing a chroma key on footage. And all I have to do is go to the effect and choose my little color picker. And I can just select what color I'd like to remove from the background. When I pick it, it instantly removed all the green. So now we have this transparent footage. And with Flash Video Codec, I can actually now, directly from After Effects, I can say export to Macromedia Flash Video. Running the trial version here. And in the advanced settings, I can go in and check on encode alpha channel. So right here, it'll encode an FLV file that respects the alpha transparency in the video. Now, when I jump over to Flash, I won't have you guys stare at an encoding bar for the next few minutes. I've already pre-encoded that, so I'm going to jump over to Flash, and we're going to incorporate this into an example. So here is a simple video player. It's going to play a music video. And what I'd like to do is have our VJ kind of sitting in the corner, and then kind of randomly at some point he's going to get up and do a trick in front of the music video while it's playing. So just kind of a simple little example, and I'll show you how easy it is to work this content into the Flash application. So I already have the FLV encoded from After Effects. I can now go to File Import and choose Import Video. And we've made this process as simple as possible, so it doesn't take a rocket scientist to just play back video in Flash anymore. I can browse for my FLV that I created, and here it is. Open. And in the next step, I choose Highlight to deliver it. I can very easily incorporate this into a Flash Media Server stream or a hosted stream. In this case, we'll go with just a progressive download. I can choose playback controls if I want. I'm not going to use those in this case because I want the video to just play on its own loop. And then finally I hit finish and it brings that video in and it'll place it on a layer. And I'm running an alpha build, right? This is actually Blaze, so some things go a little slow. Something might happen here, but we're good so far. And I'm just going to line it up. I've already kind of set up some guides, so I'll make sure I line it up properly. And that's really all I had to do when I test it now. You'll see the music video starts playing in the background. Our presenter's kind of getting a little antsy there, and you can see he's the alpha transparency is all preserved, so he's overlapping other Flash content in the background. This stuff is still interactive. I can pause the music video, I can mute, I can do all kinds of things with this, and it all works. It's all still fully interactive. Everything, you can have animation, motion graphics, anything going on behind the video while it's playing. So very easy to use, and After Effects has all this stuff built in to use this type of transparency in your videos. So that's kind of a quick example of the first step in the integration between the tools. And as Kevin alluded to, we are working very feverishly across all the teams to make sure that we figure out how to do things like integrate Photoshop and Illustrator with Flash, preserving layers when you import them into the Flash in the next release, which I know is a big, big request. All those kinds of things we're really working hard on getting right. And we'll be seeing that with the next release of Blaze. Now, another area we're focusing on is the new ActionScript Virtual Machine, the AVM in FlashPlayer 8.5, and the fantastic new ActionScript language. So I want to show you just a couple of sneak peeks. You know, no good keynote is complete without a few sneak peeks of new features that we're working on in the tool. So I said, like I said, I am running a very early alpha of the next release of Flash right now, as you see. And the first thing I wanted to show you is that we have successfully gotten the ActionScript 3 compiler and features integrated into the tool. And here's a file that kind of shows that we're targeting FlashPlayer 8.5. One of the features I wanted to point out in this is there's a new feature that we have through AS3 for Flash authoring that I think will be really popular, and that's the ability to attach a class to the main timeline. It was a very popular request with the ActionScript developers. Now I can just create a class, attach it right to the main timeline, and all my references are relevant relative to the root of the timeline. And I think that's really going to improve. Yeah, that's a big one. So that really improves the workflow. And the other thing we've done is we've started to make some kind of incremental advances to the script editor in Flash. You know, we're not trying to rebuild Flex Builder inside of Flash, but we definitely want to do some things that really make a difference in just kind of day-to-day code editing. So we've got a couple of those that are already running. We're still working on other things. I thought I'd show you a few quick examples. One is here's an ActionScript file. We've added the ability to just select a range of code and do collapse. So you can collapse code now. And that's really nice. You can do it in a variety of ways. So I can collapse just a function. So this is an init function here. If I just put the cursor there, I just collapse braces. So that's really easy to do. So you have all these little shortcut keys. You'd be able to assign a keyboard shortcut to do these things, you know, everything you would kind of expect. And please find me throughout the conference if you have any other suggestions on things we should be doing here. We also did something that's I think is really handy, is added block commenting. So there's a button that you can do to kind of comment out code really easily. Very popular one. You can comment, you can block comment, or you can do individual lines of code. Oops. So I can just select a line and hit that button, and it comments just that one line out. I can uncomment with this button. So all of these are working so far, and like I said, we still have a lot of other things that we're working on here. But you know, we're making really good progress with this stuff. And the last couple things I wanted to point out is, one, a lot of you may not know this, but we're doing something that'll be the first time in the history of Flash we've ever done anything like this. We are planning to release a public alpha of what you see here. We're still got to wrap it up. We still have a little bit more work to do on it. But when FlashPlayer 8.5 ships later this year, right around the exact same time, we'll be putting a publicly available alpha preview up on Adobe Labs, labs.adobe.com, for all of you to download and play with. It'll work for free for 30 days, and then you can activate it with your Flash 8 serial number or your Studio 8 serial number, and you'll be able to keep using that if you want to start playing with AS3 until the final release actually ships. So you'll all be able to get a really early head start on AS3 in Flash. And finally, I just wanted to also point out that we have a Flash team, Birds of a Feather, later this week. And again, Linda mentioned this earlier, tonight at 5:15, myself and John Knack, the Photoshop product manager, and Steve Kaliski, the After Effects product manager, and a couple other people from our team are going to have a session where we're going to focus on integration. We want you guys to come and give us your ideas. So I encourage you to come do that. Kevin? Thank you.
That was terrific, Mike. Thanks. And that video composition of live video, alpha blended on top of other video and content is just not possible in any other technology on the web today. The Flash Player is the only one that can do that. It's amazing how much the Flash Player team is able to achieve in the little Flash Player runtime. So the tools are continuing to rock. And on the player side, we're continuing to move that forward as well. So we've been working on getting Flash Player widely distributed on mobile devices. And we're continuing that push with Nokia, who's introduced a number of new phones with Flash Player built in, as well as doing some partnerships with recently LG and BenQ, who are now also starting, who are going to be shipping devices with Flash Lite embedded on the phones. And I wanted to show you a couple of examples of some content that people are starting to create for these phones. Now, a lot of this activity is starting to happen in Japan and Asia, and then we see it starting to reach into Europe and then the US. So we're not seeing much of this here yet, but I wanted to give you an idea of some of the apps that are being created. And you'll see that these are actually similar to some of the early content that we saw on the PC in Flash. And I think we're going to see the same kind of trend over time where this content will evolve more towards applications over time, but starting with very simple interactivity and games. And here we've got a game called Go Sushi. And you play this game where you try to feed this guy the sushi he wants. You can see he's imagining his favorite sushi, and we're just not seeing it here. There it is, so we can eat it. At least he's happy. Okay, great. You can look for the next one. If you want to, you can feed him wasabi. You know, he gets upset about that. Feed him the wrong sushi. He doesn't like that. So you can play this game and try to get the high score on that. And then here's another example of a cool game that was created for a movie called The Mummy by India Games from Universal Studios. And this game lets you play a little bit of a maze game inside the movie content here. So I can create a new game. So it's got some great, you know, animation and interactivity. It's a cute little game. And so you're able to actually run around this maze here after I read the instructions. And I can bounce around these walls here and grab these coins. And I can go here and get these. So it's just a fun little interactive game, you know, very much like what we saw in the early days of Flash on PCs. And with Flash Lite 2, we've now just raised the level of scripting from what it used to be in like Flash 4 level on the PC to Flash Player 7 level. So now you can do mobile development using ActionScript 2, real scripting language, great development tools. You no longer have to go to eBay and buy books on Flash 4 if you're doing mobile development. So now this is actually heading towards applications, and I wanted to show you an example of a service that's starting to run called Flashcast. This is in beta right now, and it's actually in trials with a number of different carriers, and we hope to see it in the US pretty soon. And I wanted to show you the example that we used at 3GSM recently. And Flashcast is a model where there's a bunch of different channels on your phone, and the data comes in the background, so you're walking around, it keeps updating. So when you go to interact with these channels, you get instant responsiveness. So rather than using something like WAP, where you have to click and wait for 10 seconds while it talks to the wireless network and comes back, you're able to actually get instantaneous response here. I don't think I'm smart enough to play that game, so I won't do that. So here's the weather, and you can see that this is the weather in Barcelona right now in Celsius. And you can go and look at the forecast. And we'll switch over here and see some different channels. News items. You can have multimedia overviews of information. Here's some current news with images pulled in the background as well. You know, for example, we can read about Tom and Katie in Tahiti. Everything's okay with them. That's great. And we can switch over here and look at stock information if we want to. We can go look at information about Barcelona. So here's a map that's built in Flash on the phone. And I can easily scroll around here and see an overview of things I might want to do and where to go, including food recommendations of restaurants. For example, this one looks cool, and I can click and I can actually, dial the number. Probably don't want to do that. And then, so just a great little example of how this experience is moving more towards wrapping this information with great interactivity and really making the mobile experience much more engaging than it was before. So that's where we're headed there. We're going to keep pushing forward on this and getting the player out there for all of you to really create a great opportunity for you to build content over time and target these devices. We're also moving the Flash authoring tool forward, including emulators in the current version. We're updating those for Flash Lite 2. Those are available now. And really working to create this ecosystem to enable a great business for you over time. So that's mobile. Now we're also moving forward on the Flash Player for PCs. And as Mike mentioned, the next version of the Flash Player is 8.5. And there's some really excellent technology in this player. It actually has two virtual machines in it. So the Flash Player 8.5 supports ActionScript 2, which is in Flash Player 8 and 7 prior. And now we're introducing ActionScript 3, which has terrific performance improvements over ActionScript 2. Because it's running in a new virtual machine that's been highly optimized for ActionScript, rather than the current virtual machine that has evolved over time from animations to applications. We were able to actually write one from scratch that has incredible performance. We're also aligning ActionScript 3 with the ECMAScript standard. We're part of ECMA standards body now. This is the body that manages the JavaScript standard and ActionScript. They're all based on this ECMAScript spec. So we're participating in that working group. And we're also supporting most recent scripting technologies like E4X, which is kind of a funny name, but it means XML inside scripting. So you can just treat XML as a first-class data type and just assign a variable to an XML string, be able to walk through XML by using dot syntax. So very simple to use XML in the scripting environment, as well as regular expressions for really fast parsing of data. And runtime error checking, which I think is probably the best feature of the new ActionScript 3 language, which you can not only check errors at compile time as you can today, but now at runtime when your application's running, if you're using the debug player, you can get error messages at runtime about data type incompatibilities and things like that to help you really find those bugs faster. And then around that, we're building the new Flex 2 framework to help build rich internet apps more quickly. So I wanted to give you a little example of what the performance increase is like here. So we put together a little demo. And what this is going to show is a 3D cube of a bunch of points spinning around, and it has a lot of scripting to calculate the position of all these different points. And we can see it here running now in ActionScript 2 in the Flash Player. And as I move my mouse around, you can see that this cube of dots is trying to keep up with it. It's a little bit choppy. And on the left, up top left, you can see the frames per second. It's about five or six frames per second. So not super fast, so you haven't seen too many slow cubes of dots out on the internet. So now with ActionScript 3, we're going to be able to have a dramatic performance increase in scripting, which will enable experiences like this. So you can have cubes that are dramatically faster, running at 50 frames per second rather than 5. So 10x performance improvement. What do you think? It was actually so fast, the team went and made the dots glow too, just for some extra special bonus. So that's a great performance boost that we're seeing in the player. Now, around ActionScript 3, we're creating a bunch of code samples to help you start getting going with the update to the language. And the lab site is actually going to be showing, is going to be hosting the code samples. I'm just going to show them to you here. So if you go onto labs.macromedia.com or adobe.com now, you can see the number of different ActionScript 3 samples. And we've made these samples to wrap web APIs out in the internet. So things like Flickr, Mapper, Odeo, RSS feeds, Atom, YouTube, a whole bunch of different web services that are out there now are wrapped with very simple ActionScript 3 class libraries. So you can very easily access those services and build some really cool Web 2.0 applications and mash up all the data and remix it in interesting ways. And pull it from all these services into one application. And the source to these libraries is all being released as open source on the lab site. You can take it and do what you will with it. So very cool release. It's now available this morning on the lab site. Now I wanted to show you an example application that was put together by Mike Chambers, Christian Cantrell, and Danny Dura to use some of these and show you what's possible with them. And they built an application that they call Flow. And what Flow does is it lets you enter in keywords, like I'll start with the ActionScript here. And you can select a source that you want to search for that tag on. I'll search delicious for that tag. And it goes out in the net, uses the ActionScript 3 APIs to go call that service, get the results. And of course, you got some links here you can click on to launch to those pages. But you can also select a word inside the results and it will show you, again, that menu, and I can go look up that word on MXNA. So you can basically flow from one source to another. Now here's a bunch of results of Flash and MXNA. Oh, hey, here's the word Flash Forward. Let's follow that to Flickr. So it pulls in some images from Flickr, and I can see those results from like the party last night. Of course, we can click on one of these and draw that image right into the application here. We can switch between them and show some photos of things that have been happening last night. Looks like there's some fun being had, which is great. And we can also follow words like Seattle to Odeo. Odeo is a podcast service where people can record voice recordings online and publish them, of course. And they use a whole Flash user interface for doing that voice recording right inside the browser. And we're able to pull in these podcast feeds, and you can see there's a whole bunch of different ones about Seattle. And of course, we can click on one of these and listen to it right in place here.
Red Bull Music Academy podcast sessions.
My name's Toby Lang. Welcome to...
All right, I think you get the idea. So you can bring in these podcasts, listen to them right in place, pulling them in with these code libraries. And then we can follow one more link here. And the next one I'm going to show is YouTube, but I think YouTube might be down this morning when we were trying it. That's one of the risks of using web services is sometimes they don't work. Yes, YouTube not working right now. But hopefully it'll be working later on today. So great, interesting example of how you can remix this data. And this app was created just in a few days. And I'm hopeful that you'll be able to create all kinds of even cooler applications remixing all this data with a great Flash UI. So that's just an example of what's coming with ActionScript 3. So with Flex 2, what we're doing here is enabling these applications to be created much more quickly. So that Flow application you saw was using ActionScript to pull in the information, but the user interface was actually created with Flex. And Flex is a very simple way to create these interfaces using very common patterns and a simple XML markup language. And the Flash Player, of course, runs these, and that's freely available. And the Flex framework itself, I'm happy to announce, is also being made free. So the MXML language, the framework, the compiler is now being freely published, so you can actually download it from labs, play with it, build these applications. It doesn't require a server, it doesn't require buying anything, and you can create these great experiences and deploy them out on the web. So I hope to see you actually checking this stuff out and seeing what great applications you can build. Now we are providing a tool. You can use whatever editor you want to create MXML applications, but we're building Flex Builder, which I hope will be the world's best tool for doing this, and that will be available this year and also is available on labs right now. And Flex Enterprise Services on the server side will continue to be available to provide great data synchronization, integration with existing enterprise systems. So I'd like to invite up Shoku Moto, who's leading the Flex Builder team, to talk with you about what it's like to use the Flex framework and actually build a little app for you here today. Show.
Thanks, Kevin. So when we built Flex, our main goal was to help you be as productive as possible in building applications. So that's the whole point of the framework and the tool and the server side as well. So what I'm going to show you today is I'm going to try to illustrate this for you by building an application for you in about 5 minutes. Now, the application I'm going to build is a music application. What it's going to do is it's going to pull music off of the net and then play it for you. So as you see here, you're looking at Flex Builder. Flex Builder is based on Eclipse, which is quickly becoming an industry standard IDE that people are using to edit Java and other kinds of languages. And it's a pretty powerful IDE. It's a more code-based product than we've ever made at either Adobe or Macromedia. I'm going to start in the design view, so you're going to see that stuff first. I'll show you the code features later. Okay, so I'm going to start with an empty application. And let's create the header for my music app by creating a canvas element. And a canvas element is something that I can use to position other elements inside of. And let me go over here into the property inspector and set... Ooh, my mouse is really slow for some reason. All right, I'm going to set the background image here to be a GIF. I'm using a GIF here, but you can use Swift assets if you like. Okay, and then let me put in another canvas. And the other canvas is going to be the screen, the display of my music app. Make that a little smaller, okay? And I'm going to use display.gif here and set its size to 100%. Drag that in. Okay, and then I'm going to put three buttons over here, so let me use image buttons for that. One, two, three, all right? And the first button. It's going to be back.gif, and then this one here is the play button, and this one here is the forward button. Okay, so now I'm going to show you here. Let's use the snapping features in order to make sure these are evenly spaced, and let's use some of the alignment. Oops, come on. It's acting a little funny today. Hold on. All right. Well, it's not going to be evenly spaced, but we'll just deal with that. We'll center it this way, okay, and then we'll move it into place here. Okay, so that gets you the general idea of what it's like to do layout. Now, below this stuff, I'm going to put in a data grid, and the data grid is going to hold the list of songs. So let me do that. Drag that out. Okay. The snapping is really being flaky today, so I just have to imagine. Okay, that's a little better. All right. Okay, so this is where I'm going to put the list of songs, and that's about it for the initial layout of my app. So I'm going to hit the play button, and what that's going to do is that's going to compile the application using the built-in compiler, and then it's going to show it in the browser. So that's what it looks like. It's not a very complicated layout, but you can see it's a little bit lonely over there sitting in the top left-hand corner, and there's a lot of unused space over here on the right. So I'm going to show you how Flex deals with layout management, or one of the ways in which Flex deals with layout management, by using layout constraints. So let me go down here. So you see this little widget here. By clicking on these buttons here, I'm telling it to take the display and stretch it as the page stretches. And I'm going to do the same for this header here. And then for this data grid portion, I'm going to tell it to stretch horizontally and vertically when the page stretches. And so let's see what that looks like. And in fact, let me add a label here to the center. You can also tell it to center, keep things centered as the page stretches in here. So here I might have the name of the song. All right, song name goes here. Okay, so that just gives you a general idea of the kind of layout that you can do. And now you see the thing stretches with me. If I resize the browser window, the whole thing just sort of reflows. The page, the controls on the page get bigger, and this label here stays centered within that display area. So that just gives you a sense of the kinds of things you can do with layout constraints. So now, obviously, I need to put some songs into my list, and for that, I'm going to flip into code. As you look at code view here, one thing you want to keep in mind is that Flex Builder works with Flex, obviously. That's why it's called Flex Builder. But it also works with just pure ActionScript. So all of these features I'm showing you about code hinting and, you know, hinting of custom classes and whatever else, all that works with ActionScript that doesn't use Flex. So if you want to, you can use Flex Builder just to do that. But okay, so let's add in some data. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to call an HTTP service, and the name of the service is going to be service. And I pass in a URL here. In this case, I'm just using localhost, so I don't have to do anything. I don't have to type a lot, but you can use any URL here. It can come off the network. And I need to tell Flex when to call this service. So I'm going to go over here and say on the application tag, creation complete equals service.send. Okay. And that's all I have to do to call the service and then get the data back into Flex. And now I have to tell Flex what to do with that data. We spend a lot of time teaching Flex about data and about XML and so on, so the process is pretty streamlined. Here I have the data grid, and I'm going to give it an ID so I can refer to it from ActionScript. And then I'm going to attach a data provider to that, and I'm going to use data binding syntax for that. Once I type in the curly braces, I can type any ActionScript that I want here. So I'm going to tell it that the service is going to have a result, and the result is an XML file. That file has the structure of a library tag with a song tag underneath it. So if I type library.song, it knows where to look for the data. And that's all I have to do for the data grid. And each column now I have to tell it which part of the song tag I want it to display. So the song tag has underneath it an artist tag, it has an album tag, it has a song name tag, so that's called name. Let me attach some column names here. So this is the artist column, this is the album column, and this is the song. Okay. And so that's that. And let me play it again. Okay, so There you go. Now the song names are being loaded up into the data grid, right? Now the next thing, obviously, I want to do is I want to be able to play these songs. So let me show you how easy it is to do that. Okay, let me go up here. And so to do that, I'm going to introduce a script tag. And this lets me type in just pure ActionScript into my MXML file. I'll start by creating a variable for the player. And media player is a custom class that I wrote that just it just wraps up a couple of the calls to the sound API. And I'll create a function called play. And what it's going to do is it's going to tell the player to play the song at a given URL. And I'll ask the grid for its selected item and then get the URL parameter from there. And that's really all I have to do that. And while I'm here, let me also change the style. You might have noticed that the data grid doesn't really look like it fits with the rest of the style of the application. It's sort of white and the rest of it's darker. So I'm going to attach a style sheet. Style source equals. Okay. I'm a little disappointed. Usually when I do this, I make at least one mistake, and I haven't made one yet. All right, let's see. So, oh, I have to attach a click handler to this image here. Okay, so the play button, I need to say click equals play. Okay, and I think that's everything. So when the user clicks on this button, it's going to call the play function, which was defined up here. The play function is just going to call the sound APIs in order to play the song at this given URL. And let's see what that looks like. Okay, so you can see that the look of my app is different now that I've attached the CSS to it. I'm going to click on the song, cross my fingers, and let's see what happens. All right, that's all there is to it. And you know, because it's Flash, you can also play video. And so hopefully that's given you a sense of how easy it is to really get started with Flex. I hope you guys check it out. It's available at labs.adobe.com, and I'll be giving a session on Wednesday as well if you're interested. Thanks.
That was a great show. Thanks. Thank you. So since you all know Flash really well, of course you can make whatever you want and use the Flash authoring tool, and you know it very closely. The Flex framework, we're hoping, will reach an even wider audience of people and bring them into the Flash community. And I encourage you to also think about whether it can help you make applications more quickly where you want to use those common patterns and maybe even contribute to those patterns so other people can then do them very easily. So basically we'll accelerate the use of these common elements across applications. Now this is all stuff is available on Labs, the ActionScript 3 stuff that we looked at, the Flash Player 8.5, Flex Builder, Flex 2, all these technologies are available currently in pre-release form on labs.adobe.com. So I encourage you to check them out, and if you have any thoughts, please send them to the teams. They're all very much looking forward to working with all of you on these things. So the next thing I wanted to talk about is where we're headed a little bit longer term with the client technology. And what we're going to be working on here, and we're starting a new project codenamed Apollo, is enabling rich internet applications to run beyond the constraints of the browser. Browsers were designed primarily, of course, for documents, and we think that as people build more web applications, they're going to want to have a better host for them. And so we're starting to work in this area. For those of you who remember a project called Central, we're using the things we learned in Central to inform what we're doing in this next generation approach on this. And to give you some more ideas about what we're thinking currently, I'd like to invite up Ed Rowe, who's leading engineering for this new project. Ed? Welcome, Ed.
Thanks, Kevin. So before we get into talking about what Apollo is, let's start with talking about why Apollo. What's the problem we're trying to solve with this project? Now, all of us are very familiar with browser-based applications. It's really been the dominant application paradigm for the past 10 years. We use them every day. We use Amazon, we use eBay, we use Slashdot. We don't even think about it. And it's been a tremendously, tremendously successful model. The deployment story is awesome, right? You just change the server, you don't have to change thousands or millions of clients. For the most part, the browser makes the UI cross-platform. And until you start pushing the envelopes, for the most part, it's also a cross-browser experience. However, there are limitations with this model. It's not perfect for all applications. The browser, as Kevin mentioned, was designed for browsing documents, not as a host for applications. And that heritage impacts what you're able to do with a browser-based application. The browser Chrome limits the richness of what you can do with a browser-based application. There's really little or no support for occasionally connected or offline scenarios. Now, I know that the world is becoming more and more wired, and we're more and more online all the time. But it's still going to be a long time before we're all online all the time with no connection drops and no hiccups. The browser-based application also has very limited ability to work with the local environment, to read and write the local disk, to run in background, to work with the system tray, and those sorts of things. And when you start trying to do really complicated things in a browser-based application, the browser incompatibilities will wind up biting you. So we believe that there's the need for an application host running outside of the browser that leverages the successful web technologies of Flash, HTML, and PDF. And this is really the essence of Apollo, to allow desktop and later mobile applications to be built from familiar web technologies, and to allow developers to use their existing skills and their existing knowledge to build applications that break free of the browser. Applications that are able to have complete control of their own Chrome, that are able to run in the background if they want to, that are able to function in occasionally connected environments, and when security permits it, to read and write to the local disk. Summarizing, to allow richer, more expressive, and more capable applications. What you see on the slide here is a hypothetical email client that might be implemented in Apollo. And what it's demonstrating is how the three major content types in Apollo might be used together. In this example, we're using Flash for the Chrome of the application. So the list of emails on the left side and in fact, the whole window. On the right-hand side, you have an HTML view that's showing the contents of an email message. And within that HTML view, we're displaying a file attachment that's a PDF, and that's what's on the bottom there. So we're composing these various types to form the UI of this application. Let's move on to how a user might experience Apollo. A user's going to install an Apollo application, typically by surfing to a page in the web browser and clicking on a link. That link will bring up an Apollo installation experience. Another path would be for the user to double-click on an Apollo deployment package on their local file system, or receive such a deployment package as an email attachment. We'll also integrate with enterprise deployment mechanisms such as Tivoli and SMS. Now, when you hear me mention deployment packages, don't think that I'm talking about platform-dependent things like MSI and installer technologies. We're talking about cross-platform deployment technologies. Once a user has an Apollo application, they're going to launch it like they launch any desktop application. They're going to double-click on a shortcut on the desktop, or they're going to use the Windows Start menu, or they're going to use the dock on Macintosh. And this really goes to a basic philosophy of Apollo, in that we don't want the users to have to learn new things. We don't want them to have to learn a new way of launching applications. We don't want Apollo to force users to learn a new way of interacting with an application. Now, this doesn't mean that an Apollo application has to be constrained to the exact way an operating system wants it to work. If you want your application to not have toolbars, to not have menu bars, maybe you want the main window to be a circle. That's fine. You're welcome to do that, but you're not forced to, of course. So to get a better sense of what I'm talking about, let's look at a demo of how an Apollo application might appear. So you can see a desktop here, and down in the lower left, I've got something that I've called Show Tunes in honor of show. And I'm just going to double-click it to bring up the little application. And you can see here what you'll now recognize as a Show's MP3 application that he just made. Now, this is basically the same application, the same Flex files, using the web technology, but now to create a desktop application. And you can see that I can move it around and have fun with it there. The application obviously has complete control of its Chrome. You don't see a toolbar here. You don't see a menu bar here. And importantly, you don't see any Adobe branding. Everything that's being rendered is being rendered by the application. I can resize this thing if I feel like it, which is always fun, so I'll do that a little bit. And just to prove it still works, we're going to listen to Show's favorite song again. Still works. Now, moving outside of the browser has enabled us to break free of that Chrome, but if we were to make this application for real, we'd also extend its capabilities. We'd give it the ability to go through the disk and find all your MP3s and display them here. We'd give it the ability to seamlessly connect to a website and enable you to buy a new song and store it on the local disk. So let's close down that app. Now, that's a really quick introduction to Apollo. If there's one thing you take away from my little section of the talk, it's basically four words, which Apollo is web applications outside the browser. That's the four-word version of Apollo. We're very early in this project. We really want to get your feedback. We want to hear what you want, what you need. I'm going to be around this conference for the next couple days. Feel free to come up to me and bend my ear. Tell me what you think. You can see the email address on the screen, which you feel free to send your ideas to. My team will also be doing public blogging. We'll be doing things on the lab site when it makes sense. And in general, we're just really looking forward to working with all of you, the community, on this project. Thanks a lot.
That was great. Thanks, Ed. All right, that's incredible. And the team is very much looking forward to comments you have. They're on this email address. I'm actually on it as well. And we are looking forward to developing this with all of you. And even though we've really been doing this for 10 years now, I feel like we're still at the beginning. You know, we've had 10 years of great progress with Flash, but there's really a revolution happening in the experience on the internet and how people are creating these applications. And I think we're just starting to see the start of that next revolution. And I think that all of us here who are building these experiences today in Flash and using these technologies are at the forefront of that. And we really have the ability to change the face of the internet and bring the experience to an even much greater level than it's been to date. So I think that's a great adventure that we're going to be on going forward. And we're very much looking forward to working with all of you on it. Thank you very much. Have a great time.
Thank you so much, Adobe and team. And I'd like to ask everybody if you could clear the room quickly. We're going to put up one of the walls and get this divided into two spaces and kick off the conference in about 20 minutes to a half hour. There is a food cart in the Internet Job Lounge, and you can mill about and discuss all the great things you just saw. So thanks a lot. Let's see if we can move out quickly so we can get the walls up.
Macintosh for the new millennium. This is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Show. I'm your host, Scott Shepard, coming to you live from the Adobe keynote at Flash Forward Conference and Film Festival 2006 here in beautiful Seattle. Wow, wasn't that cool? Did you ever think you would hear a Macromedia / Flash keynote from Adobe? Great stuff. Cool things looking forward here. For more information, you can check it out at labs.adobe.com for all the cool information on the new software and beta things they were talking about in the keynote. You can go to flashforwardconference.com to check out all the information going on at the show here. And of course, you can go to adobe.com for all the great things going on with Adobe and Flash, Macromedia, Dreamweaver. Great stuff. Thanks to Kevin Lynch, Linda Wyman. I've been your host, Scott Shepard. We'll be back tomorrow with more breaking cool information, news, and interviews from Flash Forward 2006, brought to you by lynda.com.